turn to Romans chapter 8. We had good services down in Houston, and I heard from several different ones that you had good services here, and I look forward to listening to those messages. All the brethren in Houston said tell you hello, and we had good services, I thought, as far as I could tell anyway. So let's turn to Romans 8, and let's read verses 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Everything that God brings to pass in time, God purposed in eternity. God's eternal purpose, His eternal purpose, is what God purposed to be done in time. Everything that comes to pass is according to that purpose. It's God's purpose. And when God purposed it, it was done. When He purposed it, it's done. When He thought it, it's done. The Lord said in Isaiah 14:24, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand." It's done. God's working His eternal purpose in everything that comes to pass. That's what we saw last time, providence. That's why we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. It's because it's all according to His purpose. All according to God's purpose. Let's review what we saw last time just a little bit. All things includes everything that comes to pass. That means our fall in Adam, our sin and death in Adam. That's working together for the good of God's people. Affliction, temptation, desertion, betrayal, good, bad, happy, sad, great, small, all of it, God's working together for the good of His people. And the good that He's working in all these things is spiritual good, our spiritual eternal good, our salvation. The Lord God's a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. It may appear like it's not good to us. It may appear like it's terrible to us, but it's a good thing. If God's bringing it to pass, if it comes to pass, God's bringing it to pass, and what He's doing for His people, no matter how you see it, how I see it, it's a good thing God's given. It's for our good. You think of everything that happened to Joseph. His brothers rejected him. They threw him in a pit. And we're going to leave him there for dead. Just leave him there to die. Slow death. And because they were covetous, they decided, oh, let's sell him. That'll be better. And they sold their own brother into slavery. And he ends up in Egypt. And he ends up in prison in Egypt. And then God worked it to where he ended up being the second in command in Egypt under the most powerful man in the world. And what did he say about all of that? He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Every bit of it." And that's so with all His people. And He does this not to everybody. He does this to them that love God. And He tells us who that is. It's them that He called. That's who loves God. And the only ones that love God, those He called. And that's who He's working this for. You take a sinner that goes through his life hating God, hating Christ, hating the gospel, hating God's people, and he passes through this world that way, He may have accumulated mass wealth in this life. He may have worked great things in the world, and people all over the world esteem him highly. God didn't work a thing for him. Nothing. He only works good to them that he's called. That's the only ones. The only ones. Now, how is it that God works all things together for good for his people? Look at the end of verse 28, and this is going to be our focus. It's according to his eternal purpose. According to his eternal purpose. There's no such thing as chance or fate or luck or que sera, sera, what will be, none of that. God's working everything exactly as he determined before to do it. Exactly. I want to look at God's eternal purpose. Everything God brings to pass in time, God purposed in eternity. And when he purposed it, it was done. We're going to see here, all of these verbs are in the past tense. All of these verbs are in what's the Greek tense called aorist tense. And that tense means it's a past action that is complete. And we're talking here about God's purpose. We're talking about God purposing in eternity. And because nobody's going to disannul God's purpose, because God's going to bring his purpose to pass, therefore when God purposed it, when he thought it, it's done. It's done. The scripture says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This is how sure the salvation of God's people is. It's been finished since before the foundation of the world. And then he brought it to pass. And he won't stop. This thing of time will go on until he's accomplished this purpose in every one of his people. And then we'll be eternal with God where we've always been. Let's start with the first thing here. God's eternal purpose is God's foreordination of his people. He's ordaining beforehand his people. He says, this is why all things work together in time for the good of them that are called, is because it's according to this purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Now, the foreknowledge of God here is not God knowing all things in the future. That's not what this is. That's not foreknowledge. It's not what this word means. Notice it says, for whom he did foreknow. It doesn't say what he foreknew. It says whom he foreknew. He foreknew his people. God's foreknowing is not God knowing that some would believe on him, and therefore he chose them. If that was the case, we wouldn't need the next thing, which says he also predestinated us. You wouldn't need that. If he saw that you were going to believe, well, there wouldn't be any need for predestination. There wouldn't be any need for calling. Because if he foresaw, if that's what this means, it's not his omniscience. Omniscience, when you talk about omniscience, that's an attribute of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But foreknowledge is an act. You know, get what I'm saying? Omniscience is an attribute. Foreknowledge is an act of God. God doing something. And the fact is, nothing can be foreknown that wasn't already predetermined by God. Because he's God. He predetermined everything. So that it doesn't mean he foreknew. What it means is, God eternally, everlastingly loved his people. That's what this foreknowing is. It's him knowing intimately, everlastingly, lovingly beforehand. He knew his people. He knew his people as his choice, and he foreordained his people. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That's this foreknowing. An everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. This is the foreknowing we're talking about. Remember, Christ said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that they may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's what this foreknowing is. He loved his people as He loved His Son. God foreknew Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at 1 Peter 1 and look at verse 20. Do you think that meant that God foresaw that Christ would come into the world and lay down His life for His people and therefore He chose Him to be the Savior? Of course not. It means He foreordained Him. Look here. 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. It says, Christ verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That word foreordained is the exact same Greek word that's in Romans 8:29. That's translated foreknowing. Foreordained and foreknowledge is the same word. He ordained it to come to pass beforehand. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Same word. Everything that took place on the cross was according to God's eternal purpose. It was foreordained. And it was all manifest, all ordained to come to pass beforehand. And that's what he's talking about here about his people. God's elect are his people by that same determinate counsel and by that same foreknowledge, that same foreordination of God. So when he chose us in Christ and he knew us in Christ, we were his. It was done. No way, shape, form, or fashion it was going to ever be undone. That was done. Christ said on the day of judgment, there's going to be many that are going to say, you know, didn't we do this and didn't we do that and all these wonderful works and make their boast about what they did. And what did Christ say he would say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. I never ordained you to be mine. See, this is where it all starts. It all starts with God. It doesn't start with the sinner. It starts with God. Salvation starts with God. And our Lord said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. With an everlasting love, He knows everlastingly His people. Now, secondly, God's purpose determined our end from the beginning. God's purpose, in His purpose, He determined our end before it ever began. Look at verse, back there at Romans 8, and look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Predestination is God. It's just what it sounds like. It's God setting our destination beforehand. Predetermining our destination. Predetermining our destiny. Where we're going to end up. And this is what He did. In Ephesians 1, you're familiar with this. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He chose us in Him. And it says, before the foundation of the world, why? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Meaning we're going to be brought into the family of God. But in eternity, in God's purpose, it was already accomplished. He already predestinated us. Now, if anybody wants, you know, men are always talking about the glory of God and the glory of our Redeemer. If you really want to Him to have all the glory, men would love the doctrine of predestination because that's the purpose of it. The purpose of predestination is for Christ to have all the glory. He says there, it's so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that means to have the preeminence. He said in Colossians 1:18, He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And here's the reason, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That He might be the first. You know, the elder son in a family was, he was the one who the father trusted the entire family to. All the inheritance went to him. And he could divide it with the brothers and sisters in the household if he wanted to, but it was all his. And that future of that house, and the future of all those brothers and sisters in that house depended on that firstborn son. And that's the picture here. Everything about God's house was put in the hands of His Son. And the whole reason God predestinated His people to be conformed to the image of Christ was so that Christ would have the preeminence as the elder brother, the firstborn among many brethren. So if men want to get mad about predestination, what they're saying ultimately is, I don't want God having all the glory. Because that's the purpose of it. That's the very purpose of it. And it's the only reason we have an eternal inheritance is because of predestination. He said in Ephesians 1:11, in Christ, we've obtained an inheritance. How do we get it? Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's how we obtain this inheritance, because God predestinated us to it. Now, thirdly, before this world was made, before He ever made anything, God called His people. Look here in verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. This was in eternity. We're talking about God's purpose, His eternal purpose. The word called means to be named, to be made to bear a name. That's what it means. And that's what God did in eternity. He called His people from eternity. He called us. He gave us His name before He ever made anything. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He called us before He did anything. This is why all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Because He called us before He ever made a thing. We've been His, wearing His name, before He created the first grain of sand. I'll show you this. Go to Galatians 4. I can prove this is so. Look at Galatians 4. You mean we were already called into the family of God, and we were already sons of God before He ever called us in time? That's right. Look here. Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, He called you. See, He's saying because you are already sons, He called you into His family. That means there was a call that came before the call we experienced in time. He had already called us. We were already sons before He came and told us, you're my son, you're my daughter. We were already children. Already. He purposed it. He works all things for our good. And at His appointed time, He sends the Spirit and He calls us. And we experience that call. But then we begin to learn there's nothing new under the sun. What is has already been. Nothing can be put to it. What God does is done. You know, we think of things in time sequence. Everything's got to happen in a chronological order. God's eternal. He doesn't know time. So when God purposed it, it's done. It's done. Now let's look at this fourth thing. God justified us according to His eternal purpose. Whom He called, them He also justified. Now, listen to this carefully. You saying, preacher, we were justified in eternity? Listen. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is justification a spiritual blessing? Yep. And He blessed us with all of them. Every one of them. Everyone you experience in time, He blessed us with all of them before time, including justification. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do all my pleasure. Calling the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. You know who that man is? He's Christ. It's Christ. Cyrus, King Cyrus, who God actually called from a far country to come in and deliver his people out of bondage, was a picture of Christ. He came from a far country and delivered his people. Because God chose us in him, the scripture says Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means when our Lord Jesus entered into covenant with the Father, saying, I will go forth, I will justify them from all their sins. God didn't look to us anymore after that. It was Christ alone. And in him, we were justified. Christ became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's nothing new with God. What he did, what he works in providence, is his purpose. That which he's already determined beforehand. You see, this instead of this making, some men want to argue and get all upset about this, but it ought to make us rejoice because we see how certain and sure our salvation is. It was all finished before, from the beginning. And there's no possibility that God's not going to bring to pass what he purposed in eternity. And so this thing of salvation of God's people is sure and certain. What is it that you do that you don't plan beforehand? Anything? Well, don't we think God is smarter than we are? Of course he purposed it all beforehand. The difference is, we can't say, I purposed it so it's done. Because there's 1,000 things that stop us from doing what we purposed. There's nothing that stops God from doing what he purposed. So when God said, I purposed it, he said, as I thought, so shall it stand. It's done. Because nobody's going to disannul it. It's done. Scripture says the Son of God came forth to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's what Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. Everything God said he would accomplish before him. And so, he does call us in time, and he does, when he calls you in time, he makes you to see you're justified. You're justified from all your sin. And then there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before this whole world, past, present, and future, at one time. And God's going to declare we're justified by Christ Jesus the Lamb. And so we're justified. You know, this thing was done in eternity. This thing was done at the cross. We were justified when he called us and made it, let us know he justified us. And we'll be justified in the last day when he declares before this whole world, they're justified. I've done it. That's what J.C. Philpott called fourfold justification. All right, lastly. Now this one is something that's, it took me a little while to think about this because, one, I hadn't experienced this personally. And two, I've started to think, how did he do this in eternity? But look at, he says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. You mean he glorified his people in eternity? Well, look at John 17. John 17. Verse 5. Our Lord's praying to the Father. And he says, well, let's look at verse 4. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, what does that mean? When God the Father chose his Son, he glorified his Son. When God the Father chose him and he foreordained his people in Christ, he justified his people in Christ. He predestinated his people to be conformed to Christ. He called his people in Christ. When he did all this, according to his purpose, he gave our Lord Jesus great glory in eternity. before this world was ever made, He glorified Him to the highest because He was declaring what's going to be at the end is He's going to have all the glory. And so He basically gave Him all the glory right then. And that's what Christ is saying. Glorify Me with thine own self, with the glory I had with you before the world was. Well, where were His people when He did that? We were in Christ. And so when He glorified Him, He glorified His people in Him. Now one of these days, we're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, and we're going to drop these bodies of death. And we're going to be raised incorruptible, and we're going to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember we saw Thursday night, He said, I'm going to give to you to sit in My throne with Me, just like I overcome and sat in, and My Father gave Me His throne to sit in. I'm going to do the same thing for you, Christ said. Just as the Father glorified Him with the glory He had before the world was, He's going to glorify us with the glory we had in Him before the world was. You see that? The point I want you to get from that is we've been one with Christ from eternity. There's never been a time that His people were not one with Christ. So much so that when He glorified Him, He glorified His people in Him. Now, this tells me, and all of this, and this is the purpose for which Paul is saying this. This is how come we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. It's because it's all according to His purpose. It's because whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them whom He called, He also justified. And then whom He justified, He glorified. All this was done beforehand. And it's all been brought to pass for you that believe, except for the glorification part. So is there any doubt whatsoever that everything is working together for our good? There's no doubt about it. We have no reason to doubt. We have no reason to murmur or complain about anything. Everything is working together for our good. It has been since before the world was made. Look what he says, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, there's nobody that can be against us. God's supreme. And there's nobody that can be against us. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Father, we thank You that You wrapped this whole thing up before You ever started it. I'm thankful, Lord, that You made us one with Christ and gave us all these spiritual blessings in Him before the world was made. Lord, keep us from murmuring, and any time that we want to complain about the way things are, make us to remember these things and to know that whatever it is that we would complain about, You're working that for our good just as much as Christ's blood shed on Calvary's cross. Make us to just close our mouths and wait to see it unfold and see what You're doing and how good it is for us. And Lord, we trust You to bring to pass this purpose. We're thankful that You did left nothing undone, but You predestinated everything in time and You're bringing it all to pass. Lord, help us to remember these things. We pray now that You'd bless the hearts of Your people and keep this in our hearts and to make us to see these things and rejoice in Christ our Lord. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.